It's always fun to have a musician in the studio with me here on Fine Music Radio, especially a multifaceted musician. My guest is David Watkins, who is a singer-songwriter, producer, multi-instrumentalist from Cape Town here. He's toured extensively across Africa, Europe, Asia, as well as elsewhere. And he has wonderful influences, and recently he won a SAMA Award for Best Produced Album for the album No Other Love. And David's debut solo album, No Other Love, was released in 2023. And that included popular singles Magic, Oh No, and Singing at Your Window. But we'll discover all facets of David now as I welcome David Watkins. David, welcome to People of Note.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
One of the things that I wanted to concentrate on first, before we get to the fun side, is that you are, in fact, professionally a teacher, a music teacher at Hertzler, aren't you?
Yes, I am in Cape Town. I'm Hertzler, and I've been there for just over 10 years. Actually,
10 years. So you must have started very young, if you'll excuse me saying that, because you look young.
Yes, I did start when I was quite young, but I've always been quite passionate about teaching from an early age. And so out of high school, started studying at UCT, College of Music. But while I was doing that, I was already starting to teach. And
It's interesting how some musicians really like teaching and others don't really care much about it, because it is a special gift, isn't it, being able to teach, apart from the patience that you need.
Yeah, oh, that's the first thing I was going to say was the patience. Yeah. But when I teach, it's really reminded me of the fundamentals of my own instruments and my own work. So I don't see it as, okay, we're going to play a C major scale, and I don't write it off. I go, okay, well, like, let's just remind myself these fundamentals and play beautifully, just like my students should. And then as I get older as well, the other side of teaching I love is I'm learning from them what is the current TikTok influences that they're really getting and that I would be missing out on. I see it as a pretty fair game of giving to them and they're giving back to me.
Give and take. Yeah. So you're a music teacher, aren't you, at Hertzler?
Yes.
And your principal instrument is the trumpet.
Trumpet, and then I do piano and music production. So songwriting, audio engineering, and
Oh, so you do across the board. You also do audio engineering. And that's why you won Best Produced Album.
Perhaps.
Yes, there you go. So obviously you worked on that with great love and affection to get that award. Because it must be a tricky award to win. It must also be a tricky award to judge Best Produced Album. I mean, what sort of criteria do they use?
I'm not sure on the criteria, but one thing that I felt I had in my advantage when I put my album forward for the SAMAs is that I did a lot of production diaries and showing the process of how I made the album. So when I put the album forward, I could also put all that information of like, oh, here's a video of me producing this song, and this is how I broke down and how I played every instrument on that song and how I wrote the lyrics all myself and how I recorded it all myself. And so there was like almost a storyline that I gave them,
which clearly captivated them.
So and it worked, and I'm very, very happy about it.
It's a thing to win a SAMA Award, I think, in this country. It's quite an accolade. Do you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's something that you kind of always hope for. You know, one of the things that you want to tick off the list in your career. And I feel like it's still quite early in my career to get it, which is really, really fortunate. And I was up against great albums, other producers that I respect. So just to be put there, it's a bit of affirmation for me, especially since that I was alone in a room for most of the album.
Yes, there you go. And this is 2024 we're talking about, the SAMA Awards that have just happened.
Yes, that have just happened. But it was for last year's cycle of music. So that's why the album was in 2023. And that particular album was over the course of 4 years, the production.
Wow.
And there were a lot of songs that didn't make the album, and quite a journey of my first ever solo song, which was Magic. And then before that, I had always been working with other artists. Mm-hmm. So this is, this is my story now. And that was 2019.
David, did you want to work alone always? Because it sounds as though, is most of your work alone in the studio, like you've just explained with this album that won the award?
Not initially. Most of my work was actually artists bringing me in to their songs. For example, Arno Carstens bringing me into his world and asking for my input. But I think it was two things. Number one, I was writing so many songs where I was like, this is kind of my story. I don't want to give it to someone else to sing. And number two is to challenge myself. As yes. a session musician, it's very challenging and it's a great skill to have. But I felt like I had kind of done quite a bit of session music where I was like, okay, now what's the next step? What's the hardest thing that I can give myself to do? And that is make my own music under my own name where I'm accountable, that I have to create. And so I gave myself that challenge.
So apart from all the overlays and the technical side that you create this music and the trumpet that you play, you also sing, presumably.
Yes.
You're
yes.
a singer as well.
Yes.
When you were with Arno Carstens, that was with the Springbok Nude Girls, was it?
Yes.
With
yes.
that band.
So I met Arno about 13 years ago when I opened for him in another band where I was singing and playing trumpet. And he said, whoever that trumpet fellow is, please come back to the stage and join my band as well. So I went to stage and joined him, and the rest is history. And I've been a member of Springbok Nude Girls officially, I think, about 6 years now.
And still,
yes, yeah.
Well, gosh, that's a feather in your cap, isn't it? A number of feathers in your cap. But now, David, we're going to hear you. This, you spoke about Magic, this piece Magic, which is your piece. You sing on it, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit about it, what to listen out for, what to expect.
So, like I said earlier, Magic was the first song that I released under my own name that I had produced and written myself. I'm singing, I'm playing most of the instruments on it. And yeah, this is in 2019, and I hope you enjoy the song. This is Magic.
Quarter past three and I'm sinking, waiting for the coffee to kick in. And we still got a way to go, saying things we already know. And I'm caught by the bottle, but I'm trying to be subtle, baby. And I know we don't stand a chance, so I thought maybe we could get to know each other better. Put your hand up against my sweater, knowing life is a little bit better when we're slow dancing together. I know I won't be here tomorrow, and I don't wanna cause any sorrow. I just wanna feel the magic in between you and me. Magic, the magic. Wanna feel the magic, the magic, the magic. Wanna feel the magic, oh, the magic, the magic. I wanna feel the magic, the magic, the magic. Wanna feel the magic. Locked eyes, now we're grooving. Soft kiss, you're approving. Spinning underneath the stars, I'm getting crazy for you. And I'm trying to be easy, but we're caught in a feeling. And I know we don't stand a chance, but I thought maybe we could get to know each other better. Put your hand up against my sweater, knowing life gets a little bit better when we slow dancing together. I know I won't be here tomorrow, and I don't wanna cause any sorrow. I just wanna feel the magic in between. Magic, magic.
That was a piece called Magic, and it was written and performed by my guest on People of Note this week, David Watkins, who, as I said, is a singer, songwriter, producer, a multi-instrumentalist here in Cape Town, also teaches music at Hertzler, and you've been there a while. But there it's mostly trumpet, or is the music that you teach there broader than just learning the trumpet?
Yes, the music studios has grown quite a bit since I've been there. A lot of students interested in writing and recording their own songs. Quite a few upcoming DJs that want to learn how to remix and throw a good party.
And you have that facility
and
there.
And we have all those facilities, yeah. We've actually, the studio that we've built over the time is really, really fabulous, and I feel very lucky to be working there. And the talent is undeniable, but I think in general, Cape Town has got wonderful talent and wonderful music.
Well, exactly. And I mean, that's why we have jazz festivals here and the wonderful orchestra and all that. Is there a reason you took up the trumpet?
Oh, good question. There is actually a story to this. It's my parents are very musical, and we would go to watch the Philharmonic. Sometimes I think it was just the rehearsals because we couldn't go in the evenings. I was too young. Mm-hmm. But we went, and my parents would encourage me to go approach the orchestra and members after or before interval and look at instruments up close. And
what a good idea. Well done for your parents.
Oh, Mom and Dad, well done.
yeah, I say.
No, it's because of them that I'm living this life. But they said, well, David, go see what instrument you gravitate towards. And I immediately gravitated towards the warm, beautiful brass sound of a French horn.
Oh, yes.
Stunning. And I think that's where my love for film music comes in, used a lot. But I was quite a small young chap, and I couldn't quite play a French horn. So they said, well, let's learn the embouchure first. So they gave me a cornet, which is a smaller version of a trumpet. And when I started playing the cornet, they were like, oh, well, this is going quite well.
Did you pick it up quite quickly with the embouchure and all
that? Yes, it came quite naturally. I had actually, there's a fable in my family that before I was 18 months old, I had picked up a fishing horn that my parents had on the wall, and I instinctively blew the right embouchure.
When you were 18 months?
Yes, this is my mom's story, and I believe her wholeheartedly. So that was the first hint of, ooh, brass. But no, the trumpet came because I couldn't play a French horn yet. Mm-hmm. So I started with cornet, and then they said, well, this is going very, very well on the cornet. So let's go to the trumpets and then trumpets. And they were, well, the trumpet is going very, very well. So let's just stick to that. That's how I came to trumpet.
Because in fact, if you think about it, the sound of the two, the trumpet and the horn, are very different, isn't it? The more strident sound of the trumpet, generally speaking.
Yes.
And as you said, David, the warm sound of the horn.
Mm.
But apparently a horn is also very tricky to play. We often hear fluff notes, don't we?
Yes. I mean, with we listen with forgiveness because we know how hard it is.
Right.
But yes, but I think that's also why I gravitated towards jazz. And my favorite trumpet player would be Chet Baker. And if you listen to his tone that he creates on the trumpets, it's not a brash, maybe triumphant sound that you might think of a trumpet. It's quite a warm, beautiful, melodic sound from a trumpet. And that's so maybe I found like a marriage between the two.
There is, and it's interesting you say that because it's so easy to say that a trumpet is strident, a sort of military call to arms thing. But there are many classical pieces written for the trumpet which requires a warm, legato, gentle sound. And as you say, probably in jazz as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's some beautiful Haydn concertos.
Yes.
I think jazz, the improvisation also excited me. I get to make up my own music in the middle of their music.
What is the attraction of that? You know, being a classical person first and foremost, improvising with the jazz world has always mystified me and even irritated me sometimes. But don't walk out.
No judging. This is the honesty panel, and you can speak. We're speaking freely. Funny enough for me, it was quite an opposite of maybe what a classical player might think. As I would have piano lessons at school, and I would embellish on my Moonlight Sonata, and my teacher would go, "Excuse me,
stop it,
young David. What are you doing to this beautiful?" Beethoven piece. Can you please play what is on the sheet? And I said, oh, yeah, but my feeling, I'm following my feelings. I've got, I would love maybe just an A there.
and naughty,
I got in big trouble the one concert at school. I started, and I knew I was going to do it. I prepped it beforehand. I started my classical piece. And then midway through, I just abandoned the music and made up my own song. And then finished the piece. I did a bow, looked at my teachers, apologized, and walked neatly to the side and sat down. And I got a bit of a mouthful afterwards.
I'm sure you did.
I had quite a bit of fun.
But how old would you have been then?
Can you remember? That was high school, maybe grade 9 in high school. So 14.
Okay. Yeah. I found that story of you at 18 months picking up a fisher's horn and being able to get the embouchure right. So clearly that's in your system somehow. There's a story that there was a premonition, something to do with a premonition in your family before you were born, that you were, they were going to get a musician?
Yeah, well, yes, good research. my mom had a feeling that I would be a musical gift in some way, didn't quite know how. And if you look at David from the Bible and the Psalms of David.
That's right.
He was
so that's why you got your name.
And that's where my name is from, yes. Oh.
Well, it's been proved right, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Presumably your parents are immensely proud of you.
I hope so, but they have said yes, that they are.
And just one question is, do you indulge in any classical music at the moment, or are you involved in what you are writing and the world of jazz and improvisation?
I don't listen to a lot of classical music. I actually find classical music quite stressful sometimes because as an analytical musician, when I'm listening to the orchestra, I can't really let go and just let it wash over me. I'm going, what are the flutes doing? What are the oboes doing? What are the violins? There's a lot going. There are 60 instruments happening right now. I'm terrified. Can I just have a bass guitar, drums? I do actually. There's a bit of a joke in my family is when classical music gets put on the car, I actually start to drive a bit more erratically because I'm getting stressed about listening to the full orchestra. Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, it does, rather in an unusual way.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about some of your influences. You've mentioned Chet Baker, which we'll come to, but I know one of your influences was Peter Gabriel, and that's your next piece of music, In Your Eyes. Tell me about this.
I've loved Peter Gabriel's music for quite a while, and there are a lot of aspects of him that I really enjoy. The lyrics are very expressive. And a lot about love, you know, not just In Your Eyes, but Book of Love, or even a bit Wild with the Sledgehammer, or his use of brass. He's always had a connection with South African music, with the song Biko that he released, and he does a lot of world music with his Real World Records in the UK. So he's an artist that I've always admired, looked up to, and been inspired by. And when I worked with Mike Rutherford, who was in Genesis with Peter Gabriel, I got to peek even more under the hood of some of those 80s Genesis sounds and Peter Gabriel sounds and Mike and the Mechanics. And a lot of those sounds from that era has infiltrated my music decisions. So that's why I chose this piece from Peter Gabriel's album So, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. And it's In Your Eyes.
So lost, so resolution. Of all the fruitless soldiers, oh, I see the light and the heat. Oh, I wanna be that complete. I wanna touch the light, the heat I see in your eyes.
Music there by Peter Gabriel, that piece called In Your Eyes. From which album did you say it was?
From the album So.
So, S-O. Mm.
Yes, also Sledgehammer was from there.
Okay.
The River, quite a few, yeah.
And a great inspiration to my guest here, David Watkins, who is a songwriter, singer, songwriter, producer, a multi-instrumentalist from Cape Town, a teacher at Herzliya. The recipient of a SAMA Award this year for Best Produced Album. And you mentioned that Peter Gabriel was a great influence for you. You also mentioned Chet Baker earlier on, Johnny Clegg. So these people have played a role, haven't they, by the sounds of things in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. And for different reasons. I think they all, when you have an artist, you kind of decide what you take from a musical artist when you listen to them and follow their career. So and with all those artists, it extends beyond music, actually. You know, like if I take Johnny Clegg, for example, it's not just the music, but it's how he integrated all the, you know, the Zulu culture into his music and really took ownership of that culture and displayed it through his eyes.
Made it his own, actually.
And made it his own. And I would, yeah, I really think there needs to be more of that in South Africa. But then also, obviously, the music and everything. Chet Baker, the way he was so melodic and sincere when he sang, you could just feel that emotion and the simplicity, you know. Not a lot of those jazz standards are complex poems or rhyme schemes. It's very simple, just like, this is what I have to say, and I'm saying it mm-hmm. in the most exposed way. And I really, really admire that.
Does writing the lyrics come easy to you?
Sometimes it does, and other times it can be very painstaking to find the right balance of words that you want, or the right way to say something. So often what happens is I'll get an initial spark of an idea, and that could be the first verse, which like establishes the story that I want to say, or maybe it's the chorus, which encapsulates what I'm trying to say overall in the song. And so I'm usually have one of those hooks, and that comes very quickly. So mm-hmm. that might be I sit down at the piano, or I'm in my car, and it's just like, whoop, melody and lyrics come. Then sometimes months of, okay, let's flesh out the story. Ooh, that the story's going a bit that way. I don't want it like that. I want the perception to be. So then it's the curating of the final product.
Good word, curating.
Can be very, very long. I think there's maybe one or two songs that I've had that initial inspiration start to finish done. Most songs takes me a while, yeah.
And is it possible to say which comes first, the melody, the tune, the theme, or the words? Or does it depend, I suppose, possibly?
It depends how I've heard it before described as a tap, where the tap is always on and it's always running. But it's... Oh, I just realized my analogy is actually not that great. Okay, anyway. So,
no, but I want you to continue that. So interesting.
The tap is always running. There's always information coming, but sometimes I'm in my car and the idea flows through and I'm in my car. I don't have an instrument, so I'm just la-di-da-di-da.
Nothing to write it down with.
Oh, voice notes on my phone.
Of course you can do that.
A game changer.
Yeah.
Labeling my voice notes has become an issue. So I think it just says, idea 814 now, you know. So,
like Beethoven in his notebooks.
Yes.
Let's give you a bit of a compliment.
And then sometimes I'll be sitting at a piano and then the most common one is I'll be sitting at a piano, play a few chords, just not really thinking about the chords, just whatever I'm feeling at that moment, and then singing on top of it and seeing what comes out. And sometimes nothing comes out, and sometimes something great comes out, and it's about being present and available, and hopefully the song comes to me.
Mm-hmm. And I presume completely relaxed.
Relaxed,
thoughtful,
yeah.
Thoughtful.
But at times, it comes a bit later sometimes. So mm-hmm. I might have years later an emotion that comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm busy, my brain is also the most like firing. And so, yeah, I think relaxed is often, but sometimes, you know, you're just in a whirlwind and you get an idea and it's like, and it's gone.
And then, as you said, one of your songs took some considerable time to complete. What about then, as you said, fleshing it out? How then do you select the orchestration, the effects that you want? You said earlier that a lot of your music is infected by the sounds of the 80s and 70s. When do you actually flesh it out with the strings and the brass and the cymbals and all that stuff?
Yeah, so I usually do a demo, which is just piano and vocals.
Mm.
So I have the structure, I have the finished song, and I can see, and then that's almost like you said, like fleshing it out, like that's the skeleton, and then I add the flesh.
Mm.
And I already have the sound in my head. I kind of have this imaginary instrumentation already going on, and it's just about me bringing that out. And then they're all also happy accidents. In studio, where I turn
you mean that positively, I presume.
Oh, positive, yeah. I turn on my keyboard and boink. Oh, that's a sound I've never heard before. Let's explore this a little bit. And that's, I think, where the jazz improvisation helps me a little bit, maybe, where I can just jam over something until I have a melody that really, that sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And how would you describe your music, David, to someone who you've met in the street or wherever, and they say, how do you describe your style?
My style? I would say it's got a nostalgic production element, and that would be the 80s. a nostalgic pop production.
Yes, because I saw in your biog with his usual nostalgic production. Oh, catchy, okay. Melodies.
Catchy melodies.
And soaring lyrics.
There we go. That's how I would say it. Okay. I would say generally mostly love songs, because I love singing about love. And then also the brass, I think, is a unique element, is that there's always a brass element, obviously being a trumpeter. So, yeah, I think that would cover the basics.
It's a nice description, actually. With his usual nostalgic production, catchy melodies and soaring lyrics, what could be better? So what we're going to hear now, I see Arno Karstens lurking in the wings.
Ah, Arno. So we're going a bit back in the story here.
Yeah, because you said you worked with them and you belong to the Springbok Nude Girls.
Yes, yes.
As we speak.
Yes, as we speak, I am a member of that band, which is very fun, being in a wild rock band, really lets loose and gives me an outlet that I wouldn't normally have, you know.
Yeah.
But this song, Another Universe, is very special, not only because it is one of Arno's most popular songs, and the response when we play it at shows is, I've got so many memories of great moments with the song, but also because the song that I knew Arno by when I met him. And I think of all our tours and shows and...
An yeah. element of nostalgia there.
It really does feel like another universe sometimes, being in his world and all the things I've learned from him. So shout out to Arno. We love you. And here's Another Universe.
Take the final bow. Let's make the silent sign. Nobody needs to know where we're off to. We're invisible alive. We're the whispers in the screen. We're not living in the west, and we're not coming from the east. Sharp is the knife, and alive is the night. I'm gonna slit the throat of the Holy Ghost. Ceremony to the UFO. An SMS somewhere we wanna go. Ooh. From the galaxy of blue to a universe we choose. No more crying and just maybe somebody to hold. From a galaxy of blue to a universe we choose. No more crying and just maybe somebody to hold. The car on the highway and go. Nobody needs to know. Another universe. Make a distance between us and them. Lonely, lonely, never us again. A galaxy to explore. Don't want return to a world at war. From a galaxy of blue to a universe we choose. No more crying and just maybe somebody to hold. From a galaxy of blue to a universe we choose.
Arno Carstens, that piece called Another Universe, and it was another choice of my guest on People of Note this week, David Watkins, as we're discovering a multifaceted singer, songwriter, producer, multi-instrumentalist, teacher at Herzliya. But am I right in saying that that Another Universe was used in a TV ad, and it ties up somehow to you wanting to be an actor? Tell us this deep and dark secret.
Yes, so there is another side to this song that has meaning for me. Is I have been doing acting since I was quite young, and been very lucky to do some wonderful productions and TV commercials over the years, and still do it now. But one of the jobs that got away from me was a really wonderful VW advert about a father and a son going on a road trip, and they were shooting in Namibia. And I had a scheduling conflict because I think I was doing a Disney Channel thing at the time, and didn't get the job, couldn't do the job in the end. But every time I watched that TV advert, I said, okay, number one, I missed out on the money. But number two, if you know the advert, you know what I'm talking about. And it's such a beautiful father and son little storyline. And then Arno's music comes on Another Universe as the soundtrack to that TV advert. So when I met him, that song already had quite a bit of meaning for me, and so also a little bit of acting in my life.
How do you get to fit that in? Because that, I mean, as you said about scheduling and all that, acting takes time, especially film work. There's always endless cuts and takes and things.
It does.
Or are you talking about stage as well?
So I started stage and long format, which are like TV shows and film, but like you said, the contracts are long, and it is quite a commitment, mm-hmm. especially stage. So from my maybe early 20s, I stopped doing long formats, and now I just do short formats. So that would be maybe a cameo somewhere and then commercial work.
Would we recognize you from anywhere, or is there too much?
Well, there's a lot of ads that have been on TV that people recognize me, but also... Okay, this is a radio show, so people listening, you won't know this, but I wear glasses, and it's quite a look. But when I take my glasses off, Rodney will confirm, completely different person.
People
actually don't know it's me. It's a bit of a Clark Kent situation.
Yes, because sometimes people take their glasses off, and you can still see it's the same person. But that you've just done makes me realize that I wouldn't have recognized you without your glasses if I were to see you on television.
And it's also a nice trick for festivals. If I go play on stage, but then I want to go watch other bands, then I'll just change my outfit, take off my glasses, put a hat on, and no one will
incognito.
Know. Incognito. And I'll just go up to someone and be like, the band before, what did you think of them?
Would you do that? I bet you would, too.
The trumpet player, what do you think?
You know, just getting back briefly to your teaching thing, David, one of the things that I thought might be a challenge for a teacher in this day and age especially, and especially music, is inspiring a pupil. How do you manage to inspire these people to become musicians, trumpet players, or any other musician? Or are there a lot who want to do that, or do you have to battle to get them in and interested?
I think it's the first and foremost, the student needs to have that initial spark. And sometimes that comes from a parent. Sometimes it comes from maybe a television show or another band that they've heard or something they've seen on social media. But I think that initial spark needs to come from the student. And then it's the teacher's job to turn that into the fire and really keep them inspired. And the discipline comes with that.
Yeah, and I suppose the opposite can happen, where someone does come in who seems to be filled with the fire and then doesn't quite make it, and then you, I presume, suffer a disappointment.
Or sometimes they're intrigued by it, but they're not enthralled, or that's not going to be their
angle.
Life.
Yes, they're intrigued. They want to know more.
So how does this work? Okay, I understand how it works. I've got some of the fundamentals. Thank you.
And then
I go, let's move forward. And they go, no, actually, now I want to do guitar because I want to figure that one out.
And
especially at Herzliya, we've got a team of people that are very diverse, but we all flow into each other and we're all guiding our students. Mm-hmm. So whether they come through the studio, but then they also do guitar with another teacher. And
so there are other music teachers at Hertzley apart
yes,
from you.
Yes.
As there are, I think,
there's
at
a full
the big
department
schools.
Of music, and it's run by Danielle Winter. She's heads it up, a wonderful violin player. And yeah, we've got 5 or 6 staff running all the usual instruments you would have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what makes us unique is we do a lot of contemporary music, and the studio makes us quite unique. The fact that we've got a world-class recording studio with teachers that help you produce and release your own songs. We've got many, many students that have got their own music out because of
and have used your studio to put
and
it
yeah. And my guidance and, you know, the lessons I've learned from the industry.
Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, you learn from the students as well.
Yes, yeah. They give me the trends that I might miss out on.
You said TikTok, yes.
The TikTok trends. How many times has TikTok been talked about on Fine Music?
Very little, certainly on this program.
There is, and it is growing with classical music, which is quite exciting. But yeah, I need help with finding those trends. So I'm very grateful for the students.
Yes, because they're all with it, aren't they? Then it's incredible how the youngsters know all these things.
And they move fast.
And it comes naturally to them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need another piece by you, David.
Ah.
David Watkins, and you, this is your piece called No Other Love. Tell us about it. What can we expect?
So last year, my debut album came out, which, and this is the title song from that album, No Other Love. This is a very special song because it encapsulates a lot of my music with the lyrics, with the production style. And it also, yeah, won me the SAMA Award for production. And this is No Other Love. I hope you enjoy it.
You're out of my league, but I'm an optimist. And ever since we met, you haven't left my head. And I didn't know I was a perfectionist. And so you, with all of that sweet talk, with a look in your eyes, a soft touch, you're the kind of like it.
My guest, David Watkins was performing there, his own piece called No Other Love. Thank you, David. And I talked about you and I, well, the fact that I'm useless when it comes to TikTok and how you need to keep up these things. And you said YouTube is very valuable to you at the moment with stuff that you're putting up there.
Yes, my YouTube channel has been growing, and that's where all my music videos are. And I've just released a live series of performances by my band and me at Milestone Recording Studios, which I feel very honored to have been able to play there and record there. And yeah, that's where you can find all my music, whether it's a music video or just...
How do you look it up?
So if you go onto YouTube, it's just my name, David Watkins, although the Watkins is with a Y.
Yes, a little trick there. not I-N-S, Y-N-S.
That is my family name. It's not like a fancy music. It's the Welsh spelling of Watkins. So it's a bit of a Watkins, if you had to think of it like that.
Yes, if you're
so
Welsh.
It's David Watkins with a Y. And there you'll find my music videos. There's also some behind the scenes of how I recorded my songs, how I played the instruments, produced the songs, lots and lots you can discover about.
You mentioned your band, and I remember right towards the beginning of our discussion, we spoke about how you like to work alone. Mm. So you do obviously have a band, you have your own band.
Yes, when I play live.
And what does it consist of?
So I have a pretty standard pop or rock band, you could say. It's drums and bass. And keyboards, guitars, and then myself. And then I kind of hop around between guitar and singing, or piano and singing, or blasting trumpet solos, or just dancing singing. Okay. So there's, I juggle around. And there are intimate shows where if it's an acoustic, then it might just be me. Mm-hmm. And then I move between the different instruments and... Yeah, we haven't quite figured out the cloning thing yet. So I can't play, like on the album, I can play all the instruments because I can
fiddle in the studio.
Retrack myself,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
But when it comes to live, then...
Unplugged.
Then I've got my band. And I do love the musicianship of playing live with other people.
I'm sure.
Because
the camaraderie,
it takes you places and...
Possibly gives you new ideas.
New ideas, new interpretation. Or like, I've never quite heard that song like that, or extending the songs, and just camaraderie, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be alone up there. I love my friends and we want to have fun together.
But you like being alone in the studio. That's interesting.
I like being alone in the studio. It's my little escape. And if I need help, I do. Mm-hmm. I have people that come through, but generally the songs are very personal. But perhaps in the future I will do some more collaboration.
Okay, now I want to ask you about a website. Can people visit a website of yours?
Yes, absolutely. It's davidwatkins.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Simple name. And
and they can find out what you're doing, if you're performing anywhere and all.
Absolutely.
That
there's
on
a,
your website.
Yeah, there's dates there, there's links to the music, there's a little biography. If you want to see young David playing his cornet like we chatted earlier, there's a little photo there. And there's also some blogs about the songs and how they came about. And
David with and without glasses.
Maybe.
David, we're running out of time, so I'm intrigued by your last piece, which you've called Christmas in Cape Town, and which you're performing. Tell me a little bit about this.
So Christmas in Cape Town is a rework or a song that is very dear when I was growing up from my family. It's a piece by Edmund Bourne. And it came out in 2002 in an album entitled Christmas in Cape Town by the New Apostolic Church. And that was a standard in my home. And it is quite a gospel classic instrumentation. So when I always heard the song, I was like, I know how I would interpret the song in my own style. So a few years ago, I contacted Edmund and I created my own version of Christmas in Cape Town. We shot a beautiful music video all around Cape Town over the course of 8 months, over the weekends, over 100 different people that we stopped on the street and sang with, 17 locations. And that video is very, very dear to me.
Is it on YouTube?
And it's on YouTube. On okay. If you type in Christmas in Cape Town, David, then you'll see it. And the goal is to get it to 200,000 views. I think we're on 181,000 views. So we're getting there.
You're getting indeed.
And I think people will find it very nostalgic and meaningful. There's also not a lot of summer Christmas songs out there. So
no,
I saw
true.
A little bit of a gap, and I wanted to do a summer Christmas song that celebrated this beautiful, beautiful city.
How about another one for next year? Summer Christmas in Cape Town.
When it's summer.
There you go. So Christmas in Cape Town is going to end our chat. David Watkins has been my guest. You know now he's on YouTube and you know his website, so have a look and see what he's up to and where he's playing next. So, David, thank you very much for a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me here. It's been lovely, and thanks for the wonderful interview.
You won't see any snowfall at this time of year. No reindeer in the valley as a mistletoe appears. And underneath the blue sky is a perfect summer's day, with beaches filled with people, all the beauty on display. 'Cause when it's Christmas in Cape Town, there's happiness and joy and smiles upon the faces of every boy and girl. The sun is shining brightly over mountains and the seas. When it's Christmas in Cape Town, it's a special place to Mountain or on a grand parade, and we'll see the minstrels dancing with an umbrella for shade. In the nighttime there'll be music, new people you can meet, and the lights will shine down brightly all the way down Edley Street. And there's not another place I in Cape Town, there's happiness and joy and smiles upon the faces of every boy and girl. The sun is shining brightly over mountains and the seas. When it's Christmas in Cape Town, it's a it's a special place for me.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. Thank you.
Hello, this is comedian Alan Committee. My brand new stand-up show, Comedy Gold, will be running at Theatre on the Bay from the 18th of December. It's the perfect festive season stress reliever. Laugh along as I explore Airbnbs, school Shakespeare, Elon Musk, Lord of the Rings, and a do-it-yourself Australian breakdancing class. And because you are the best audience and deserve only nice things, I'll also bring out my flip chart. The Olympic Alan Committee, striving for comedy gold at Theatre on the Bay. Book through web tickets.
This festive season, the musical My Fair Lady boasts a bouquet score of timeless songs set to enthrall. Santa's Sleigh Bells Safari blends puppetry, physical performance and song in a gentle, magical visual feast. Tchaikovsky's glorious score comes alive in the classic The Nutcracker by Cape Town City Ballet. For further information on these and other exciting productions at the Theatre of Choice, kindly call Artscape Dialyseed on 021-421-7695.
Dream.